Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has declared you to be his saint, the one who has already declared you to be triumphant, my dear fellow redeemed. As we've been thinking about welcome home and as we've been thinking about the joy of gathering together as family, today you and I rejoice in the fact that we are part of an everlasting family. Is it really everlasting? Because as you and I gather as a family, you know that sooner or later, at some point, we have to deal with death. Perhaps every single one of us here has been to a funeral. Maybe you haven't been at too many yet. Maybe you think you've been to too many. We face the fact that there is someone who has always been there. As long as you and I can remember, that person has always been part of the family. They've been at every reunion. They've been at every gathering. They've always been there, and now suddenly they aren't. And we deal with that loss, and we deal with that loneliness. We deal with the tears. Is everlasting really a good term? You know, a lot of times, and maybe especially this particular service, Saints Triumphant, is one of those services that feels an awful lot like the funeral, feels an awful lot like remembering those who have gone before us, some of the same thoughts, perhaps some of the same hymns, things that bring back to memory, as we'll have a chance to hear in a few moments, to think about those who have already gone home. That's the key, right? Already gone home. That's why you and I can rejoice in an everlasting family, even though there may be a hole here. Maybe there is a loss, so-called, here. You and I rejoice that our Lord and our God is the one who makes it possible that when you and I gather here as this family, that is also the reminder that this family will continue to gather together because it is an everlasting family. So we turn our attention to the gospel lesson for this morning, Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. Welcome home. Welcome home to an everlasting family. And as we listen to Jesus talk with these Sadducees, you and I rejoice that this age is temporary, but that age is eternal. Welcome home, everlasting family. Now, of course, this is the age that you and I know. This is the age that we're familiar with. And so Jesus is now busy visiting. This is Tuesday of Holy Week. As this goes on, he's got one group after another trying to trip him up and cause him difficulties. And so the Sadducees set the stage for what we will be talking about today. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. The Sadducees take Jesus back to Moses and take him to what has become known as the Levirate Law. In the Old Testament, God is the one, as he brought the people out of Egypt, brought them across the Red Sea, brought them across the Jordan River, defeated all of their enemies. God is the one who assigned the inheritance to each of those families. And then he set up this process in order to ensure that whatever that inheritance was stayed within that family and didn't actually end up in some different family elsewhere. So if a man died without having any children, leaving no heirs for his inheritance, that man's brother was to marry the widow in order to continue the family line and keep his family going. So as these Sadducees take Jesus back to that law, they come up with this scenario. What if that happened seven times? You've got these seven brothers, none of them had any children, and now all of a sudden, all seven have been married to this same gal. Then what? Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? How's that going to work? How is it going to happen in the resurrection? Because it just doesn't seem to make any sense that you can have one woman and seven husbands. How is this going to work? Now, perhaps you remember the very first phrase of the lesson. And that helps us to see what these Sadducees are doing. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection. They didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in anything after death. They didn't believe in angels. As soon as this age was done, it's done. They didn't believe that anything else existed, just this life. So what they're doing is trying to create this ridiculous scenario, creating this sort of scenario that obviously is going to make Jesus look foolish if he agrees to it, obviously make the whole idea of the resurrection seem like an absolutely strange and foolish concept, because obviously, in their minds, nothing comes next. Jesus more or less just dismisses the scenario. He just simply says, well, in that age to come, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. That's for here. This age is temporary, and marriage is part of this age. But even in that answer, Jesus begins to hint that there must be something else that's coming. And so now he directs their attention to what is coming. There is going to be a difference between this age, this one's temporary, and that age. That age is eternal. Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking a part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. Remember how at the very beginning of our lessons we made the comment that when God describes heaven, he uses phrases that describe what it isn't? Because you and I can hardly begin to imagine it. And I think this is one of those things that we have a hard time imagining. This life is built on marriage. That is the foundation for the family and the foundation for society. And it's kind of hard for us to imagine when we get to that age not having that relationship. But Jesus says, when we get there, and this sets aside their concern, there is neither marrying nor giving in marriage once we get to the glories of heaven. Once you get to heaven, there's also no death, no longer able to die. And in that sense, we're like the angels. We don't become angels when we die. We're not given a set of wings and a little harp and we're bouncing from cloud to cloud. You and I are still me, you're still you, we are there, but no longer able to die, no longer needing to have children to keep the family line going, we are there with our Lord. That's one of the differences between this age and that age. In other words, there is a resurrection. So, they took Jesus to Moses, Jesus takes them to Moses. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. For he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. By the time Moses was talking with the Lord at that burning bush, Abraham was long gone. He had been dead for many, many years. Same thing with Isaac, same thing with Jacob. If anybody ever talked about them, it was always going to be in the past tense. We remember what Abraham did. We remember how things were. But as the Lord describes himself, he does not say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. While they perhaps are not on this earth, this temporary age, they are already with him in the eternal age that is to come. Because to God they're all alive. He is the God of the living. An amazing thing as you and I think about those who've gone before us. Think about this age that is temporary. It may be temporary. You and I know that sooner or later we're either going to die or Jesus is going to come back and bring this age to a close. We're not sure which one is going to come first. I think we're assuming that we're going to die. But even though this age is temporary, it is important. This age is important because this is the age where you and I learn about our Lord and our Savior. This is the age where you and I learn the differences between this age and that age. This is the age where you and I are prepared for that age. That's important for us to keep in mind because there are times when you and I end up somewhat like the Sadducees, right? While we may know in our minds that something else is coming, we may not live that way. We may not act that way. We catch ourselves all wrapped up in this age, thinking that all of this temporary stuff is permanent, thinking that I need to be focusing my attention on what I can get and what I can have and where I can go and what I can be and what I can do. Get all wrapped up in the idea that I can make whatever decisions I want to in life, I can live however I wish to live, as if it really doesn't have that much ramification as to what comes next. Not really affecting anybody else, not at all in tune that perhaps this is now wrecking the relationship that I have with my God. Because now in practice, I become the Sadducee. And this life becomes all important. Sometimes we may end up at the other extreme, that this life becomes so unimportant that you end up in the same place. What's really important is heaven. What's really important is what happens there. So this life doesn't make much difference. Kind of do whatever it is that you feel like doing. Don't pay a whole lot of attention because I'm going to be with Jesus anyway. And both of those extremes then lead us to using this temporary time or misusing this temporary time to not be ready for that age, the one that is eternal. This age is important, which is why we're saying welcome home. This age is important because family is important. Your family is important. Your family is the opportunity for mom, dad, husband, wife, parent, child. This is your opportunity to learn who Jesus is, to know whose team you are on, to rejoice in the fact that you have been claimed by your Lord and your Savior. And now here in your family, in this time, is your opportunity to make sure that you are all ready for whenever that last day should come. And just as your family is important, this family is important. Because this is the family that encourages the families. This is the family that helps each other, strengthens each other, builds each other, as we all rejoice that we are part of this age, even though it is temporary, and Jesus is using this temporary age to get us ready for that age which is eternal. Take advantage of those opportunities. Use that time. Rejoice in what is coming. Because this is not the be-all and the end-all. This life is not the most important. This is the opportunity to be in His means of grace, because this is where you and I find out that when that eternal age comes, we know where we will be. Because we are those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come. Think of that phrase. You are worthy to take part in the age to come. That's because you've got a majestic Savior who went to that cross. That's because you've got a majestic Savior who went into the tomb. He's already died. He's been there. You have a majestic Savior who rose again in triumph. We focus our thoughts and our attention on Jesus and we marvel at the fact that here is the one who did everything necessary to declare you worthy, died to take away everything that makes you unworthy, and paves the way to the resurrection of the dead at the end of time by His own resurrection. You are worthy to be in the glories of heaven in that age. You are a saint and you are triumphant. The prayer that we're going to be praying in a moment talks about the saints militant. We're still fighting. We're still dealing with temptation. We're still dealing with the struggles of this life. But Jesus declares you to be triumphant. That includes those who've already gone. As you think about the saints who have already left this world, and even though they may not be here, you now find that amazing comfort, even perhaps among the tears, of knowing that they are not gone, but now with their Lord. They are in that age that is eternal. They are in the settings described by our lessons that you and I can't even begin to fathom yet, but they are there where that amazing stream is running through the middle of the city. The tree of life is back. They are healed. There's no more death. There's no more pain. There's no more crying. All the things that seem to be absolutely unreasonable to expect in this life are taking place in the next, because they're with Jesus. No more night. Don't need to turn on a lamp. Don't even need the sun anymore. Jesus is there. They're with their God, the one who carried them safely through this life and now makes them triumphant saints in the glories of heaven. They are perfectly safe. Nothing can trip them up anymore. Nothing can take them away from their Lord and their Savior. They've been welcomed home to the everlasting family. And you are too. You're part of that everlasting family. Have been ever since the days of your baptism. And even though there is loss and loneliness that we face in this life, you and I rejoice to hear that phrase, welcome home to an everlasting family. You and I are welcomed here to this everlasting family, rejoicing in the fact that we are children of the resurrection. We are children of God. We know what is coming. We know what is lying there in the future. This age is temporary. That age is eternal. And God uses this age to get us ready for that age. And as we've been talking about all end season time, you and I rejoice that when that time does come, as triumphant saints wrapped in the robes of Christ's righteousness, He will say, welcome home to a family that is never going to end, an everlasting family. Amen.